Learning about their journey and how they learned how to be in this world as Homo, as Indigenous people, and also as women. And what that taught me was that there, you know, so many struggles, so many things that they've had to combat, to overcome, and yet they always do it with a smile and a laugh and with a curious mind. And so I guess for me, it really is my identity, because they teach me about my family. I get to hear all the stories about my family, be it like, you know, across the spectrum of human emotion, there is many, many stories about my family. And it's such a beautiful thing to learn, because it means who I am as Naomi, as their niece, as Thomas's auntie. And I get to learn about my family, and also just seeing myself reflected in my family is a huge way I ground myself and my identity. I am a natural night owl. I love being up at night. I love coffee. Everyone on my team knows how much I love my coffee. Learning that, like, my uncle, I was talking to him on the phone one night, and I said, you know, we don't really have like a family, like we don't come from a clan. Like, what's our, like, everyone has these beautiful crests. I was like asking him about this, and he was like, well, first of all, you know, we don't follow the clan system, because we consider ourselves of all of animals. Like, we connect with all of them. They all have teachings for us. And he said, but, you know, as a joke, if we were to choose one, he said it would be the night owl, because all of our family are night owls. We love to stay up late. We love our coffee. We love all of that. And he said, if you wanted to design a family crest, draw a night owl with a big cup of coffee. And that was such a good story, because I totally agree. And just to see myself reflected in my family, especially the ones that are over on the island who don't live with me over on this side of the water, to hear about just funny stories like that too, that just, I know when I'm up late tinkering away with something or weaving or doing something, I can pretty much guess that my uncle is watching a movie over on the island, because we also love our movies, or my dad is, you know, probably writing or doing something else late at night as well, or my auntie Kat is probably doing some sewing. She loves to do sewing. But just knowing that we're all kind of, you know, such similar people has also really been such a gift to learn to know who I am. Yeah.
I love that. I love, like, just building on that, like, that family connection. I think that's one thing that I usually say my auntie, because I only have one auntie on my mom's side, and I have, like, two uncles on my mom's side that are alive. But the one thing that I think they all taught me is, like, unconditional love. So I can go, like, long times without talking to them, just me living my own life, but every time I do see either my auntie or my uncles, like, they genuinely say, I love you, or love you, and, like, give me a hug, and you can see that they, like, miss the young little girl that they used to take care of, but they also see, like, a strong-willed young woman, and it's just, I think that unconditional love is something that I just value a lot, because it's, you see it throughout my cousins, my connection with my grandma, my siblings, like, even though we all butt heads at a lot of times, we all know that we still have each other, like, almost, I guess, like the mafia in the sense, you know, like, family name is, like, it means something, right? It's a bigger thing, and just knowing that, like, and knowing, like, my last name, Squawken, it's Squawken, that means eagling in our language. And it almost seems like carrying that name is almost like everyone in our family is under the eagle wing, which is kind of nice. Like, we're all kind of a part of the bigger unit. And one teaching that my auntie has always taught me is giving without terms and conditions. Sometimes other family members can guilt trip and whatnot, but my auntie has never done that. Like, she's always just given something to me, and I know that I can, that it's just a genuine gift. Whether that be laundry detergent or other little things like keychains or a cute little sweater or whatnot. Like, I know it's her gift to me because she wants to gift it. And I've taken on that that teaching and kind of just started implementing that now with my nieces and nephews, just now that I actually have a career where I can buy them things. But giving them, like, useful things, too. Like, my auntie would always give me useful things. Like, she'd give me laundry detergent. Whether I needed it or not, I knew, like, if it were higher times, I still had that one, you know? So I guess useful things, and then also just giving without terms and conditions. And overarching one for my family is unconditional love. Like, just the how strong our family is makes me really value the teachings that I've received from my aunts and uncles, and also just knowing that we have that the larger unit other than just our family. Like, there's our community as well. So those are my teachings from my family and community.
Thank you. I do want to mention, I couldn't hear myself. I just want to go back to how all of you are saying that there's many different ways for us to express love in our communities and in our families. But when that connection is missing, how do we restore it, or how do we go about building it or taking that first step? I know when we were doing the planning for this conversation, that was one thing that we talked about, Jerry, is how do we build these relationships in our communities and take that first step to doing so?
Yes, I. You know, I hunger to hear somebody say uncle to me. You know, I get hungry for that, and I get hungry to say uncle or auntie. And I learned to adopt aunties and uncles because I'm what they call a traveling man. I mean, I've traveled all over the country. People call me, and I go work for them before COVID. You know, I've been to Labrador, NWT, the Yukon, Alaska, different places to work. But I would go, and if there's an elder there, if there's a elder woman, a granny, I'd call her auntie. If there's a man, I'd call him uncle. And I'd go over there like a good nephew, and I'd bring them water or whatever. Hey, uncle, you want some coffee? I talk like that to them. Yeah, because it's a good feeling to be a nephew that like that. And I went to Musqueam, and I became part of their longhouse there. And people that are older than me in the longhouse, because they've been there all their life, you know, and I just went in 2000 or something. So I have aunties up there half my age, younger than me, and I call them auntie. And it's so good to hear them. Hey, Steven, that's what I say, nephew in Musqueam. Hey, Steven, how are you doing? Oh, it just feels so good, you know. Oh, auntie, good, auntie. Well, no, auntie, I'd say that to them. I'm doing very good. Same with uncles. I call them, some of them are my age or younger, and I call them uncle because they're teaching me. They're teaching me some valuable lessons. So it was so good to develop uncle-auntie relationships. Someone that's older than you, and let's say in drumming or basket weaving or whatever it is, you can call them auntie. And don't be shy if somebody, you know, older than you calls you auntie or uncle. It simply means that they're very traditional and they recognize the gift that you have. So they can call you uncle or auntie. You know, so, you know, our family trees got all messed up because of residential school and even just giving our names, our English names now. So it's a good idea for you to start finding your family tree if you don't know it. Just a suggestion. And if your first cousin on your dad's side is older than you and it's a guy, you can call him uncle. Or if it's a lady, and it's your first cousin and they're older, and you can call them auntie, you know. And I really recommend that, you know, to revive this uncle auntie, because to me the uncle and aunties were the teachers, because the parents were busy raising, my parents are raising seven kids, you know, that's a tough job. You know, so the uncles and aunties would step in and help. You know, my uncle would babysit us, my aunties or my granny. You know, so it's something that it just feels so good once it starts. Like as soon as I go to Musqueam, for instance, I hear those terms, uncle and auntie, or nephew, or niece. You know, so. Even when I heard Savannah just a little while ago call me uncle, oh, it felt good. My heart felt warm. You know, it's a good feeling to be acknowledged because it's a respectful. You know, and at this time too, I'd also say, you know, like everything we do in life, we earn it. So when we earn someone calling us uncle because of the way we treat them, we treat them good. We don't hurt them. We don't hurt anybody. You know, we could be, I feel I could be uncle to anybody. That's the way I am. I don't want to hurt anybody. Yeah, so that's my little take on, you know, uncles and aunties that we need. It's something I get hungry for.
Mm. Thank you. I guess I'll go next. How I build relationships is aunties, uncles. I think I usually start by, like, just because I love children so much and love being an auntie, like a young auntie, I just usually start playing, like, with my friend's kids, like, and actually playing. Like, if we're playing a boss battle, like, we're playing a boss battle. Like, and usually I'm the game master, which is pretty fun at times, but except for when I can't imagine something. But, I guess, like, the one thing I realized is, like, building these relationships, one thing I realized, I guess, just recently is my nephew. I love being called auntie, but my nieces and nephews are so much older than kind of the average niece or nephew. So, like, my oldest nephew is 3 years younger than me, and it goes 3 years, 3 years, 8 years, 8 years, and 11 years. And those are just for my siblings, not including my nieces and nephews through either cousins or friends, but they're a lot older. So I was either called, like, little aunties until I became, like, an adult. And they're kind of like, now sometimes, like, my nephews are really good. My nieces aren't so great with being, like, saying auntie, but they'll usually, like, I think it's, like, taking on that role as an auntie is, like, also doing the work as an auntie, too. Like, I'm now realizing that with my nephew here in the city is he's calling me auntie more, or even, like, wassa. So wassa in my language is auntie. And his mom's also saying it, too, so, like, reinforcing it. And I think she's feeling more comfortable as me being an auntie because I'm showing up and I'm being there and I'm helping support her and also being another support for my nephew. And so it's not even my choice as being an auntie to say, like, I'm your auntie. It's kind of like, I need to do the work to be your auntie. And I think I'm really, really realizing that with my nephew here in the city. And then that's also kind of showing me that I need to show up for my other nieces and nephews in a different way who aren't here in the city. And how I build those relationships are either through iMessage, like, I don't know, a little hoop game, or we'll send, like, snap filters or stuff like that. So that's how I build my relationship. I guess it's a lot different than, like, the average traditional ways, but I think it kind of breaks the ice. And then I feel like my nieces and nephews are a lot more inclined to talk to me. My second niece, she's graduating high school this year, and she's asking me a lot more questions about what it's like to graduate. And I think having that relationship beforehand of actually being there for her and also just listening to her without judgment and Just being an open ear, I think that's how I built the relationships with my nieces and nephews. How I build it outside of my family, though, it's definitely just being a kid. I think I'm realizing now as like an auntie, like when I was a kid, like when I was the niece, I was Cakes, but now as like an auntie, I'm Rainy. So I'm now just realizing that like Rainy is auntie and Cakes was when I was a niece. So it's funny to see that your nicknames even change as you get older. So, and a lot of my nieces, nephews will be like, Rainy! And they'll just like, and then we'll just play for like the first 30 or 50 minutes that I'm there. And then like acknowledge them and do whatever like games they're playing. And And that's how I usually build my connections with being an auntie within my community. What are yours, Naomi?
Thanks, Serene. I think that exactly what you two have been talking about of like creating those opportunities to create connection, I think is really what I look for, because I looked around at one point when I was an adult and realized that no one was like going to do it for me, like set it up for me. So a few years ago, I went and visited my family over in the island, and I made the travel plans myself, and I went over and visited with them, and I realized that like all of those things that my mom and my dad used to organize to bring us over to go and sit with aunties and uncles and like have those opportunities to like just visit, that no one was going to continue to organize them. I had to, kind of like dentist appointments. It's like, I mean, it's more fun visiting family than seeing the dentist, to be honest, but it's the same idea of like finding opportunities to organize themselves, because being completely honest, yes, it's something that my family has also struggled with, is the lack of connection because of many things that have happened in history, that we do have struggles to connect and have those relationships together. And so, for me, breaking it down to things that are easy, things that I already enjoy. I really love sitting down and having tea with somebody, having some food together, and just talking for like hours is actually how I've been building up my relationship with my family. And also seeing like what Jerry's saying is like, it's not just people that you're related to that are like your, you know, given family, but also family that you connect to, like other than that. So for me, like Serene and I met through work, obviously we're here together, but through our conversations and our relationship together, we feel more like sisters or cousins than anything else. And then also we were even able to break it down to that Serene and her mom and my auntie have known each other for many, many years. And to think that our family extends far beyond just the people that we are related to by blood, and that we have like kin, we have family across everywhere that we go to. Even Jerry talking about being close to Musqueam, and now he's part of like Musqueam family. And that's definitely what I relate to, because growing up outside of our community over in Nanusp and growing up here in East Van, there is its own community here where I had aunties and uncles that were looking out for me and taking care of me that I'm not, you know, related to, but they were family. They treated me like family, and I could look to them up to them as family. And so I think not getting overwhelmed of like, because for me, I remember talking to a friend of like, how do I like bring my whole family together? How do I do this? You know, it's so big, right? And he was like, well, you know, just one-on-one, you're one person, and just reaching out and connecting to one person at a time and just enjoying that time together. And you don't have to worry about taking on the burden of this huge, you know, like overwhelming prospect of like healing and connection, and just create it to like small moments of connection, because that's what made me feel good. It's, and it made it real for me, because talking about this stuff can feel so broad, but to just say sitting down and eating breakfast at you know, at Denny's or something with one of my aunties a few years ago, that was, I still have that memory in my mind of that was a chance for me and her to connect. And and then having a like an opportunity to interview a different auntie, just sitting down together and eating Chinese food, because we really wanted Chinese food that night. And yeah, moments like that. That was really fun, and finding ways to connect like that. It's almost like kind of like making friends. Like, how do you make friends? You go up to them, you introduce yourself, you know, you find common things that you have in common and just share some time together. And I've seen Terrain do a great example of that when we had the opportunity to visit Newhawk in Ballacoola. We saw an elder sitting at a table by himself, and I am so shy, I wasn't going to say anything. And Serena was like, let's go eat dinner with him. And I was like, okay. She grabbed our plates, and we went over and sat down and introduced ourselves and said, hello, you know, we're just visiting from out of town. And then we found out that he was one of the hereditary chiefs there, and he had a ton of really cool like history to share with us and some language as well to share with us. And it was a really, really beautiful memory. And it was just a sitting down and sharing some food together.
We do have 10 minutes left, but I wanted to thank you all again for sharing. I know that especially during this time when we can't gather in person, it's just so nice to reminisce about these times with our aunties and with our community and the times that we have gathered and all these lessons that we still have, and we'll still be here when we do have the opportunity to gather in physical space together. And Serene, I really liked during your presentation when you were talking about the way that you're connecting with your nieces and nephews is just through the tools we have available. So Snapchat or, you know, like these games that we can play online. And I think that's just a good reminder for myself personally to remember that it isn't just big moments that makes you an auntie or a community member or kin. It's the small moments where you're just checking in and showing up together. So I do want to allow time for all of you to have some, to ask a question to the audience or have a closing thought before we go away for lunch. We have an hour lunch break from 12 to 1. So if you three had a thought or a question or anything to close, this is your time.
I think I would just want to share that there is no bad way of being an auntie, that being an auntie is dependent, or an uncle, is dependent on who you are as a person, and to not be afraid to try, because you might have people turn you away or say, I don't need help with that, go, you know, they might dismiss you, and that's okay. That's their decision. That's their emotion, and you don't have to own that, and you can just continue to try and put yourself out there and make mistakes, because I've learned such good, valuable lessons from aunties that I've seen struggle, that I've seen make mistakes and say something that they shouldn't have said, or, you know, do something like that. And I learned from it. And so I would say, don't be afraid. And you don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to act a certain way. You know, you don't have to be anything to be yourself or to be who you are to your community, whether that community be, you know, with family members or completely new people in a different setting. It's totally okay. And just try and step in and learn.
I encourage you guys all to start a little Snapchat game or something with your niece or nephew. Oh, Roblox, that's a big one. I know that one too. And just play for like an hour, even if it's just, or maybe even if it's just 30 minutes. Like, I know it makes a huge impact, because every time when I see my nieces and nephews, they light up because they have that shared connection. So, I mean, do it how you want to do it, whether that be even just reaching out to your auntie and uncle just to say, hey, like, I acknowledge you, I love you, I'm still here. And that goes a long way.
Kate, I'd like to add that, you know, if an uncle corrects you, don't get hurt feelings. Because when they correct you, it's because they care for you. You know, and they want you to do good. And they don't want you to embarrass yourself. So they're going to correct you and say, don't do it that way, nephew or niece. You know, I can remember my uncle telling me, nephew, you fly with the crows, you're going to get shot. You know, because I was hanging around with people that were drinking and stealing when I was a young teenager. Of course, I didn't listen to him, and I end up getting arrested, you know, and get thrown in a can or in a jail. But I listened after that. You know, so if they're going to correct you, you know, don't have hurt feelings from it. It could hurt. I'm not saying don't have hurt. All of us can get hurt feelings from being corrected. But just say, thank you, uncle or auntie. Okay. Just thank them. You know, and when your uncle or auntie does something for you, you sort of put a mark on your brain. Say, I'm going to do something for uncle or auntie. I'm going to pay them back for this moment. And then when you do that, you say, and they'll say, hi, why are you doing that? So, uncle, remember last year you done this for me? I just want to return that kindness. Because that's the way our people, where they would, as soon as somebody does something for you, you mark it and say, I'm going to do something for them. And it might be 2 or 3 years down the road or something, you know. One of my aunties told me when you give away good things, it goes around in a circle and come back to you. And sometimes it's a big circle, maybe 10 years before it gets back to you. But don't worry, it'll come back to you. So one of the tough things for, as an uncle, I talk to nephews that made bad mistakes. And I have to try and find a way where they don't feel worse because they're feeling bad already. You know, so I don't want them to have feel any worse than they are. But at the same time, I want to let them know what you've done is wrong. You know, you shouldn't do that. But always, I think when we use the word nephew, when I correct my nephews and I say, hey, nephew, you know, it's a different connection then. It's, I think it opens the door for correcting people when you start to use that term nephew and niece. You know, I've talked to nephews and say, hey, nephew, you know, we're doing some serious work here. You know, we're saving lives and stuff like that. You know, or we want granny or grandpa to have a good event because sometimes they have naming ceremony or something. And we work with the uncles and the aunties to help that grandparent have a good event. You know, and it's so good to have uncles and aunties guide you. So when you need help, go say, hey, uncle, I don't understand this. Don't be afraid to do that. And if they don't know, don't blame them. You know, to say, oh, thank you. They might tell you where else to look for an answer. But try to keep the communication open by listening and talking, returning goodness, giving goodness. And teach people that too. Teach your nephew. Oh, yeah, nephew. Teach them about what goes around comes around. You give out goodness, goodness comes back to you.
I'd just like to thank once again my wonderful guests on this podcast, Savannah, Naomi, and Serene, and my wonderful crew, the techies, the engineers, for making this possible. You know, I had a thought today. I've been feeling the fatigue, COVID fatigue. And, of course, the times get me down, you know, and, oh, I'm tired of this. I want to go to BC. I want to visit my family, you know, all of that. And, you know, at times gets me down. So this morning I said, this whole experience, I'm going to be stronger because I'm facing it. Like a salmon story. The salmon swimming up the river has been banged around, fighting the tough rapids. They didn't care because they knew when they face that struggle, they get stronger. So let's put it in our minds. We're going to get stronger fighting this COVID, and we're going to beat it. And that we're going to have a chance to be uncles and aunties still. And we're going to be good ones. So thank you for listening.
You're listening to Sign. Simon Fraser, Campus Radio on CJSF 90.1 FM.